accession number 18748, reel 3.
Pete Saunders, reel 3.
Yeah, as I say, I just jumped in the door. I think I must have hit my head. It must have stunned me a little bit. But anyway, what happened, I don't know. All I know is it all sorted itself out, and we continued on the patrol, and we picked up these three blokes and brought them in. And they'd been, obviously the chinks had wired them up. They wired them up with booby traps, because we had to have an engineer officer to go in to get these booby traps off them, but we carried them back. But they were rotten. They did smell, and I'll tell you, I got back to my dugout and I reeked of, because the composite, if the smell of a dead body is a kind of a sickly sweet smell, and it clings. There's a sweetness, and it's a sickly, and it clings so hot, it clings so to everything. And I got back to my dugout, and I stripped everything off me, and all I had to get off me was a army mess tin of cold water and a rag to rub this stench on me. And unfortunately, I did have some. Another pair of slacks and some shirt and that to put on to, but all my clothes reeks of this stench, and that's all I had, a mess tin and a rag and a cold water, not even hot water, cold water, to scrub this bloody smell off. the stench of a dead body. I mean, we had a lot of it up the hook, because there was a lot of, after the fighting at the hook, they were everywhere, and the smell we got into everything. You used to eat it, you used to drink it, even smoke it, we were a fag. It's a sickly, very funny, sickly sweet, it's a smell you don't get on anything else. It's just decomposing body. And there was a lot of it about.
Were these corpses on the hook after that battle of the Duke of Wellington's? Yeah. Were they British or Chinese?
Mostly chinks. Mostly chinks. There were a lot. There were British up there, but mostly chinks. We had. I know. As I say, we were clearing up after it, and our mob, and we were laying barbed wire. I know we had to go weigh barbed wire out, because it had all been blown to pieces. Everything was blown. We were digging and blowing, putting barbed wire up and everything. And I was out there, I was in charge of a section or something. We were laying this concertina wire across, because the other had gone. And I could smell this bloody chink. I could smell his body. I didn't know it was a chink. I could smell his body. And he was around, and I didn't know where he was, you know. I could smell him, though. And anyway, we must have got a bit careless and made a bit too much noise, because they heard us, and so they started to mortar us. And of course, I remember yelling to the lads, get out, get down. And I dived into this nearest shell hole, and I found this chink. I went slap bang on top of this dead chink, and he got it, stunk. And I must have landed him like that. Oh, God. I said, mate, I'm trying to stay in the shell hole until the shelling had stopped. Then I was up out of it and down the other way from it. Whoa, bloody hell. Yeah, there was a lot of it about, but, oh, yeah.
But when you cleared up the battlefield after the Duke's battle,
yeah,
were you just taking corpses out or other things?
We were repairing the sandbags, repairing the wire, getting rid of the dead bodies. A lot of it was quick lime on top of it to get rid of it. Yeah.
And so, from the number of Chinese dead, do you think the Dukes had got the better of the battle?
Yes, I think they must have done. Yes. They didn't take the position, did they? They tried to, they didn't take it. So, yeah.
What was this Pimlico thing you were talking
about? That was November 1952. We went. I don't really know. Can't remember a lot about it. All I can remember that we had to. We went out to take this. I know it was Hill 210. They were holding Hill 210, and they had a position up there, and it caused us a lot of trouble because it must have been an observation post of some sort, and they were guiding their shells, and we were getting shelled very badly. So we went out to take this, but we went out strong, and I know that I think we went out. There was about 60. We went out, which was very very unusual. There was about 60 of us went out on this patrol, fighting patrol, but I don't know, can't really remember what it was for. I know we went to take this 210. What was up there, I don't know. I think it must have been more than an observation post. We wouldn't have sent 60 blokes out. Anyway, unfortunately, it seems, what happened, and I mean, this is, a lot of this is what I've heard hearsay, is that we went across the valley, and we went off in blobs, three or four blobs across the valley to attack this position. And I was on the right over here. And it seems that at the time, unfortunately or coincidentally, it must have been a coincidence, the Chinks had a strong fighting, it must have been battalion or something out in the valley at the time, and they reckon they estimated 200 to 300 Chinese were out there. Well, they came in, shall we say, from the left. We were going that way. They came in from the left and they swept us up. And they gave us a right good, they dusted us down. Well, I think we lost 30 that night. And there was a lot taken prisoner. One bloke got the DCM out there, one of our boys got a DCM. Anyway, I was on the right, they didn't affect me. They come that way, come from the left. But yes, they gave us a right pasting. It was in the papers, and I'll tell you what it was in. I think it was in, well, if it's still, if you can get it, the Star, the old Star, and Stars and Standard. I don't think it's Standard. I think it was a Star. But yes, you could probably find out a lot about it. Actually, it was 1952, November the 25th. I remember the bloody date, November 25th, 1952.
So you mean about half the force?
Half the force was killed, wounded, and taken prisoner.
But at least you didn't get into the fight.
No, I was on the right. I was on the right. No.
So they sent out about 2 platoons, did they?
I think it must have been. Well, it must have been a very strong company. Yes. It wouldn't have been a company because it was 100. Yeah, they would. Kit Hall was killed out there, and I've got the names up there. Another lieutenant was killed, Dela Rock or something. He was killed too. And there were, got very very badly cut up. A lot was taken prisoner, and we made the last stand. The blokes who were out there, and the bloke who all the NCOs and all that had been killed or wounded. And this bloke was a wireless operator. What is his name now? You'll be able to find out. I can't think of his name. But he got the DC, and he took command. And his last words coming over the air was, "They're coming again. We will not be able to hold them back this time." And he has to say he got the DCM.
Posthumous, though.
No. He was taken prisoner. He was taken prisoner. Yeah.
What were you doing during the battle?
Oh, I was on the right, and we must have been withdrawn, for I can remember. Must have been withdrawn. Yeah.
Why was it called Pimlico?
That was called Pimlico. That was they give a name like for it. That was a code name for the operation, Pimlico. If you go in the museum, you'll see in the case there on the right about it. They're writing about this bloke's. It's all bit about all written out about it. Yeah. It was.
Was that the biggest fight you were in?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose it was, really. The hook wasn't very funny, I'll tell you that. Bloody awful place. But that went on a bit. That went on for about 2 weeks, off and on. Not very nice at all.
What did you do in the rest of that 2 weeks?
Well, of course, we were... we had our dugout there, and we used to go out at night. The front part of the hook was so bad that they used to withdraw our troops in the daytime, and we used to just keep little isolated units keeping an eye on it, and then they'd bring them back up at night, and then at night we'd do all the digging to clean it up a bit, and then they'd withdraw again in the day, and then they'd go back up at night. We'd work at night, but we were just behind it, so we weren't on the right in the front. We weren't right in front of Greenfinger or Ronson or Warsaw. We were just behind them, but we used to go out on them every night. Bloody Greenfinger. Greenfinger or Ronson. Warsaw, that was quiet. But Greenfinger and Ronson.
What did you think of the Chinese enemy?
They were all right. They seemed to be quite decent on the whole. I mean, they were their enemy. I mean, when it all finished in 27th, I was up the line on the 20th, and as strange as it may seem, we finished up practically where we started, our at Yongdo, but just a little bit, practically where we started, and I was up the line on the 27th when it's finished, and we could never spot the buggers. They were over the other side of the river. There was a river, the Sabichon, and we couldn't spot them, but on the morning of the 27th, I think, or the morning of the 28th, I can't remember, it was morning of the 20th, when it finished, they all come out of their holes. And they were clever, they could dig, and where we'd been looking for them, they were right in front of us. They were clever. Yeah. Up the, I was up there so many places, but I don't think it was the hook. Somewhere else, I was up there so many places. But there was one place there that this chink had, there'd been a silken parachute come down with a flare on it, and this chink had, during the night sometime, had got underneath this silken parachute, and he must have dug himself a little hole underneath the silken parachute. So there's this parachute here, and we're looking out, and he's no further than the other side of the road there, shall I say? And he's there, and of course we're looking at all the debris and the silken parachute. The boy's underneath him, isn't he? He's a sniper. He's having a go. Yeah, we found him in the end, but it took a while to find him. Clever, you see, they were clever. What they didn't have in material, they made up in savvy. They were very clever.
Did he get anybody?
Oh, yes, two or three, We couldn't find a beggar. We knew this sniper was about, yeah.
Was he killed himself?
I think so, yes. I think it must have been, I think it was, in the end.
So when these Chinese troops came from their foxholes on ceasefire day...
On ceasefire day, yes.
What did they do?
I'll tell you what they did, straight out. They had a donkey, and they were playing donkey rides. They were doing donkey rides up and down the blooming river, on the other side of the river. Yeah. They had this ruddy donkey, and they were riding this bloody donkey. I think they were laughing at us. But of course it was all over. So we did. This didn't happen to me, but I know I spoke to an Aussie who was on our left at the time. He must have been the second battle, I suppose. And he said that when it was ceasefire, a few of the Aussies walked into the Chinese lines to chat. And they were greeted quite well. They wouldn't let them go too far, but they wouldn't let them go right into the headquarters. But they let them, and they chatted to them. How they chatted, I don't know. Probably sign language, because obviously they didn't speak. But this didn't happen to me, mind you. It happened to them. But yes, yeah. I'll tell you what did happen to me though. The orders came to withdraw, so we had to withdraw half a mile, and they would do half a mile. So between the two lines on the 27th was a mile. And then the order came to put a barbed wire line right across Korea from one side to the other. And each section, each battalion, each company had to do the section of barbed wire in front of them, and it had to go straight. Straight. And my platoon had this bit to do, and we had to lay this bloody barbed wire. Of course, we've got a flooded paddy field to go through. Not go round the paddy field, got to go through the paddy field. And you try to put barbed wire on his stakes. You know, you work in water, you sort of things go that way. So we had to put this bloody barbed wire into this bloody paddy field right across Korea. That is, of course, that's the demarcation line now, but that was the original demarcation line, a barbed wire line right across. Yeah.
So when you push the stakes in,
it's going that way. You try to put something into water, it sort of takes it away, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that was the 27th or 28th, whatever. It was the day it was finished. And then we drew back down, and I got sent down. Me and a few other people went advance party down to Pusan. And I was down there, I must be down there a week or so before the battalion came down. And I had a load of Chinese women, Korean women. About 40 of them were. We were loading stores, and I was just supervising these Chinese women loading stores. Don't know why. Korean women that were loading these stores. Yeah, and I used to supervise them.
How did they work?
They were good. By God, they were good. They used to. I had about 40 women and a couple of blokes, and they had all these goods. So they used to walk around. The blokes would. They'd be on a warehouse, and they'd lift the up onto the women's heads, and the women would just walk it round to the other place, and so a couple of blokes would take it off for them. Yes, I don't know why I got that lumber with that job, but I had it for about a few days, a week maybe, and then the battalion came down, and we got on the boat and went back. Our first stop was Hong Kong, and we all went ashore in Hong Kong, and what did we have? Do you want beer? Milk. We hadn't seen milk for 2 weeks. Fresh milk. We drank milk. I think we drank Hong Kong dry. Fresh milk. That's all I wanted, fresh milk. Oh, God, it was good.
You didn't get any milk in Korea?
Not fresh. We had the dried. We had no fresh milk. No. Yeah, fresh milk. We come ashore at Hong Kong. Fresh milk. That's all we wanted, was fresh milk.
Whilst you were in Korea, did you see anything of the situation of the Korean civilians?
Well, see, we were up the line most of the time, and it was up the time nearly all the time, and of course they withdrew the Korean people from the lines. I think we see the old Mama Sands and the Papa Sands. They were marvellous. They were little old people, and they had an A-frame. It was a piece of wood made like a frame. It's called an A-frame. It looked like an A. And they put it on the back, and they put all this weight on it. And I don't know how they carried it, but they used to carry these great big bundles of wood and on their backs. And they, there was nothing of them, and yet they used to get these great big bundles, the old A-frame, on their back. And they marvellous they were.
Was that carrying stuff for you?
No. Oh, we had our own Korean. We had Korean porters with us. And they were a mixed bunch. I mean, I can always remember up the hook. It was up the hook at all, because I went down as down to the bottom, to the depot to get some Korean ports to bring some goods up to us, some ammunition, water, food. And we used to have a system. We used to have a bloke at the front, a bloke in the middle, and a bloke at the back, and a big line of Koreans in between, stacked in between, one in the front, one in the middle, one at the back. Keep an eye on them, because they'd nick anything they could. I mean, they were fair dues. They didn't have much, poor beggars. We went up this hill. I do not know. We went up this trench, and it went up, right up to the hill, up to the hook. And on either side, they're in a trench, right? There's a British soldier in the front, a British soldier in the middle, and a British soldier at the back, right? Go up this trench. Barbed wire that side, barbed wire that side, minefields either side, up this trench, and they still stole something and got away. And don't ask me how they did it, they did. Clever buggers they were. And there's a squaddy in the front, a squaddy in the middle, a squaddy at the back, and there was, I don't know how many gooks, 20 or 30 gooks, we used to call them gooks. And they, And they still managed to pick half inch something and have it away. And there was barbed wire and bloody minefields on either side of it, and still the bugger's got away. How they did it, clever sons they were. How they did it, I don't know, but they did it.
What type of things were they after?
Well, food, clothing. They didn't want the ammunition, they didn't want the water, they wanted the food. That's what they were both of them. And whatever, you know, if there were shovels, pickaxes being taken up to. But yeah.
You described the Korean winter. What was the Korean summer like?
Well, I can't remember much about it. It must have been very, I think it was pretty hot. But I can't remember much about the Korean summer. I think it was pretty good. I think the summer was a little bit warmer than our summers, but not too bad. But the winters were terribly cold.
You mentioned something about Australians, but yeah, how much contact did you have with other?
Oh, we had quite a lot with the forces. We had contact with the Yanks a lot. Quite a lot with the Americans. We had contact with the Aussies, and we had contact with the New Zealanders. Contact with the Canucks, the Canadians, they were out there with us, and we had a bit of contact with the Turks at one time. Yeah, Turks were on our left at one time, and we had quite a lot of contact with the ROKs, that was Koreans, the Republic of Korea Army. We had a lot of Koreans sent to us to integrate with us. We used to call them CATCOMs. They were Koreans attached to the Commonwealth Forces, I had one in my section, and there was about two or three to a platoon, and they were treated like us, so they used to do what we did. They came about 19, it must have been 53. About March or April 53, they came in.
What were they like?
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, blimey. I got a photograph upstairs for Lee. He was a nice bloke. Got on well with him. He came from down south somewhere. Taegu, I think it was, in Korea. Very good. Very nice bloke.
Did they make good soldiers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, blimey. As good as us. No better, no worse, I suppose.
What were the other UN troops like?
Well, what we met, I mean, we got on all right with them all. We were lucky. We were unlucky and lucky. We were the worst paid bloody out there, other than the Koreans. Koreans were badly paid, very badly paid. But we were the worst, the British. The Aussies were the best. The Yanks were next. Aussies and New Zealanders were the best. The Yanks were next. Canucks. They were all very well paid. We weren't very poorly paid. But the only thing, the advantage we had, we could get hold of beer and they couldn't. Not even the Aussies. They stopped them having it. And we could get beer, and they couldn't, so we used to flog it to them, found a bottle, and they didn't give a damn because they had the money. They had the money, and we had the beer, so that was it.
What did you use the money for?
Well, I don't know, really, because we couldn't spend it. I only used to draw about 10 bob once a fortnight off them, that was all. I mean, couldn't spend it on it. Must have had a nephew of some sort come round. Didn't come round to us, but used to give it to, I think, if I can recall, used to give an order to the sergeant major, he'd go down to Leffie and get it for you. Because we never spent any money out there, nothing to spend it on.
But they paid you in Australian currency?
No, they paid us in BAF, Korean BAF.
You mentioned how the Cosbys had said that the Chinese would have all these aircraft.
Yeah, I think it's a load of rubbish.
Did you see much?
The only time I got bombed in Korea was by a Yank, of all things. I don't know where it was. I was up the line. We were here. Cheeks were over there, and this bloke came down, boom, 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 and he dived at this cheeky position. The Cheeks set up anti-aircraft fire, and he swerved away from it. And as he swerved, he let his bombs go. But of course, they didn't go on the Cheeks; they went on us, didn't they? I landed just in front of that. It went up, the muck bit went up and up and up. And up. It was never going to come down. And then it came down, woof. That was the only time I got bombed out there.
Was there anybody a casualty from
that? No, it didn't. It went into the front of the trenches, so it was all right. But he died to bomb these bloody cheeks. They
Was there very much use of air power?
I think there might have been, but we didn't see a lot of it. We used to see them going over. We used to curse them, of course. It's all right for them. They're going pretty good. They go back and put their feet out there. Like, we're stuck here in a blooming trenches. Yeah.
And did you have any after effects from having served in Korea?
When I came home, I was a little bit nervous. She had a rough time, my old girl, when I come home. I mean, I didn't meet her till two or three years later, but I did after I came home. But I was a bit, not shell-shocked, but my nerves were a bit stretched a bit. But
did you have nightmares?
No, I don't. Can't think I had nightmares. I can't think I had nightmares. I think I was just a bit taut. I know when I came home, this bloody neighbour of mine, he says, "God, two things I always remember when I come home. Hello, you look bloody awful." I said, "Thank you very much. It's been a holiday camp, you know." Then the other bloke came around. The other bloke said, "Hello, we thought you was dead. Thank you very much." Yeah.
Do you think you did look awful?
I didn't think so, but I suppose they thought I looked. Well, blimey, I did nearly 2 years of it. You know, you get a bit gutty. I didn't think I looked awful, but he said, "You know, Christ, you look awful." Thank you very much. Been on the camp. I'm going on a bit. I'm sorry.
And how do you feel now about having served in Korea?
Well, it's just an incident, isn't it? It's just one of those things. I mean, this wasn't my idea, this, but I must say, I have enjoyed it, chatting to you. But,
did you enjoy Korea?
Did I enjoy Korea? Can't say, I don't suppose I did, really, no. I didn't enjoy Korea, no. No. No, it was too airy. It was too airy at times. It was no. I didn't enjoy Korea. It was too cold, too wet, too bloody dangerous. No.
Have you ever been back?
No, I will one day. But because they do this in the BKVA. Monday I'll go, but my missus she don't go much on travelling. So that's why. So there it is.